Hi, friends. Welcome to Think Out Loud with me. This here is a chat cast meant to prove, mainly to myself, but hopefully to you too, that getting out of our own heads, getting out of our own way, opening our arms and our minds and our hearts to input and ideas and even seeming impossibilities give way to internal clarity. The wows become thank yous. Thank you for being human. Thank you for sharing with me. Thank you for walking with me just for a bit to think out loud about our humanness. To be human, this beautiful planet is covered in them. Humans, each trying to be as human as they know how, me included. And sometimes being human hurts. Sometimes being human is hard. And when being human is hard, well, sometimes we don't quite know how to handle ourselves. Relying on current sets of tools and experiences to drum up a reaction to a new hard to be human situation may leave us feeling defeated, devalued, determined to retreat. Polite or flight, that's been my own instant defense mechanism throughout my life. What I've realized though, that in retreating, I give my energy to the fight. I hurt, so I hide my light. My light is my everything, no longer numb. Hurt people hurt people. Healed people take the time to heal. In crazy, not so often situations, we get the downtime to heal. But most of the time, healing happens in real time. And just when we think we've got a leg up on things, this beautiful journey rolls out with a twist, a distraction, a literal slap upside the head that makes you question every bit of your healing. Is this worth it? Is it working? Am I worth it? Am I crazy? You know what? Perhaps. Yeah, maybe I am. You know what? Fuck it. The world is mad. This whole place is going to implode in anger and hatred and fingers pointing and scores kept for games that most people don't even realize that they're playing. This life stuff, sometimes it's hard. And when it's hard, well, I look for input. I look for connection. I look for my tribe. I have a guest today that I consider a part of my tribe. Kathy Huddleston is a horse and a people trainer, educator, student, author, speaker, mentor, and she's a believer in acceptance of self and others. She accepts me, and her heart desires to help me. And I can say without a shadow of a doubt that her heart desires to help you. Kathy, welcome. I'm excited to think out loud with you, my friend.
Oh, I'm really glad to be here today. This is exciting. Happy to be a part of your journey.
Thank you. Our journey hasn't had a lot of crossover, but it's had had enough profound crossover to connect us for life on this planet. I met you through Andy Burgess, our dear friend, who's no longer with us. Years ago, I met you in Fallbrook, California, on a ranch where I got to meet Mel. Melancholy was my horse. And my experience with you that day, the first day I ever laid eyes on you as a horse and people person that you are, I was enamored with you, and I still am. And I want folks to hear from you first about just you and your love and your partnership with horses on this planet. It's the one of the most beautiful that I've witnessed. Think out loud with me just about that.
Okay. Well, let's see. I grew up in Western Kansas in the middle of nowhere. I always joke and say, I was just down the road from Dorothy and Toto. And that little dog was a mean little bastard. I always joke about that.
Did he bite?
Well, of course. He was a little dog. He was a nippy little dog. I think I came into this life out of the womb horse crazy. Everybody in the community knew that I was horse crazy, that I wanted a horse. My dad was a social worker, a regional social worker. And I came along when he was 55. So that created a special kind of opportunity. It was from the third marriage. So I'm my mom's only child. And my dad, I was my dad's only daughter. He'd had boys before me. And we shared a really special bond. And he gifted me with growing up in a completely experiential setting, which I think was an amazing gift. And the way that began, the way that I remember, is a farmer coming into his office when I was 2 and a half and saying, "Howard, that girl of yours needs a horse." And this family dropped his pony off. He's been here for a couple of years. He hasn't been touched or paid for since. And if you can catch the little son of a bitch, you can have him for that girl. And that pony was my first horse. And I was lucky enough to have a father. My mother went along with it, probably begrudgingly, where he turned me loose. He went, "Here you go. Here's a pony. Don't die." So he was the first horse I ever trained. He was my first horse teacher. He was all of those things. I rode him all over town. I taught him how to drive. I taught him horrible things when I was 5 or 6. I taught him how to rear on command, which was not a brilliant choice, especially after I taught him to drive. He'd get a feeding time and he'd start rearing when it was time to go home and eat, right? All of those things. But that little dude started my journey, and it started clearly with that first horse at 2 and a half and even before. I've spent a lifetime with horses. I've had maybe one short window of at most a year that I didn't own a horse, but I didn't have a horse in my life full time. My undergrad degree is in equine studies. My graduate degree is in education with an emphasis in equestrian education. It's been horses, horses, horses. I've spent a lifetime learning from horses. And I have the privilege of getting to share that with other people, not only as a professional trainer and as a professional coach, but also the emotional agility side of things, learning how to be present in your body in a safe way. All those great lessons that horses teach all of us, horse girls and horse boys, that we know about, that I get to share with just the public, people who might have only one experience with a horse in their lifetime, and really get to take that lesson and carry it forward. And it's a pretty cool thing. And I'm still doing it 5 decades later.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Trotting around town on your pony. I can see you. That's hysterical.
Oh yeah. There was a picture in the local newspaper on the front page, a summertime picture. And it's me going down Main Street. And there were, I don't remember, either 2 or 3 of my friends, all of us riding the pony down Main Street.
Two or three of you?
Yeah, there were 2 or 3 of us riding him at the same time, you know, being typical kids. Yeah, that's awesome. Pretty typical for me. Yeah.
The average person, would you say, well, I'll just go out on a limb. Most folks don't understand the innate the intelligence of the horse and the availability of horses as teachers and partners in this life. And it wasn't something that I didn't understand the concept until, you know, I was in it. I personally grew up, my dad as a, I guess the real term is a blacksmith, a farrier. He said he was a horseshoer, right?
Right.
He'd whip out his 1963 truck, and he'd pull up and he'd throw down the back tailgate and pull out this anvil and into this thing where he had his little slide. And then he'd pull out all of his boxes with all of his files and his things that he had found at auctions and garage sales. And, you know, and we hand painted on the side, "Garth Peterson, horseshoer," with his phone number, you know. And I was always mesmerized by his own relationship with horses, because he was gentle. He was the gentle one that the town, you know, if people owned horses, they called Garth Peterson out, because he just had a way with them. He just had a way with, and even the sassiest one, you know, with Garth around, he had a way. And I was I was enamored with that. I know now that it was an energetic connection that he had. He's no longer, you know, here to talk to me about it, but I believe that I've come back into horses through you and through Andy for that energetic connection that I flirted with as a young person, but now get a chance to capitalize on and really look at my relationship and myself through the eyes of a horse. Can we think out loud about just how magnificent, you know, and I know you live this, you breathe this. It's second nature. It's just nature to you, right? But tell folks what folks don't really know. You know, horses, they're beautiful creatures whose ability to assess situations and process threats, any input that comes their way, it's fascinating. And they stand to be examples and teachers and guides for us to find our own ability to do the same. I'd love to just hear the way that you describe, you know, the beautiful horse and what he's meant to show us as humans.
Well, it's an interesting thing. We as humans have a very long history with horses. Right? We have spent hundreds and hundreds of years evolving and growing and conquering worlds and doing all of these things. Some people would say side by side with horses. I would propose for hundreds of years, they were a tool. They were very much like an automobile or a tractor. We used them to grow and improve, to farm, to move cattle, to travel, to all of those things. And in the last, for sure, 50 years, we've seen a transition, especially throughout this last century, of horses no longer being our mode of transportation and trying to figure out where they fit into our lives. And it's been an interesting transition. They've gone from a tool in that way, a survival tool, to a status symbol, which is very interesting. Mm-hmm. And so they're still being utilized as a tool, just somewhat differently.
Yep.
And a little time in LA or looking at fashion magazines and looking at models or actors, or that's kind of how we've treated horses. For those of us who were horse girls or horse boys and had the heart and the connection, they were way more than that to us. But the competition component has been present. But I would propose that the core component to what horses bring to the table today is this idea of horse as teacher and how they model connection, congruence, right? And congruence meaning not wearing a mask. Who I am on the inside is who I am on the outside. And present state of being, right here, right now. And it's an amazing thing. It doesn't matter the size of the horse, the gender of the horse. These are all really key components to their day-to-day life. Right here, right now, horses don't spend their time thinking about what occurred yesterday. They're not worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. It's just in this moment, and if they have food and shelter and water and they're safe and all those pieces, you know, that component is fulfilled. Connection, they're relationship beings. They want to be in family groups, in herd groups, within those dynamics. And they also want to be in connection with us, right? Heart to heart connection right here, right now. And they remind us of that. They don't. Any time spent with a horse, the only way you're going to get anything out of it is if you're present with them in that moment. Mm-hmm. That's when you're visible to them. It's a fascinating thing. And they will choose connection with us over and over and over again. And horses that have had bad experiences, they forgive us our humanity. because our humanity, if we look around the world, humanity isn't so pretty, right? We're modeling some not so pretty things in how we treat one another and how we treat the planet and how we treat all of the beings that reside on this planet. Horses forgive us that. They accept us unconditionally for who we are, see us for who our heart is. And as long as we show up congruent and present and in connection, they gift us that right back. They gift us that unconditional acceptance. I think we could sure use a lot more of that in our world today, no matter the horse.
I would second that. I mean, the way you put it, we are modeling out there as a humankind, some pretty gnarly ways of being. And it's curious to me, you know, we are these beings that, you know, according to us, this is our planet. This is our, you know, our show, and every other being is just a player. You know, this is ours to conquer. It feels though in certain situations, like, you know, beautiful creatures like horses, when I drive by, are watching the crazy and saying, if y'all want to just take a break and take a moment and a pause from all that, come out here to the field, you know,
yeah,
come have a sit. Come have a graze away from the crazy of the driving by. I'm imagining horses and, you know, fields, just watching all of the crazy around and just knowing in their own beings that the people, the tribes that matter, will find them, that they'll partner with, they're in their own commitment to the planet that we don't even understand, right?
Yes. Yes, I think that's true. And I'm not even sure if they even notice so much all the crap and the chaos and the activity going on.
That's true.
You know, some do, but not all. Some are the sentries of the herd. And so it's their job to notice. It's their job to notice. But really, it's their job to notice if there is a perceived threat encroaching. But that's it. So they're just looking for that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they're just here and now and grazing. Mm-hmm. I think they model a really beautiful way of living. And so many humans seek that out. I don't think at our core, we actually are these awful beings.
I 100% agree with you.
Yeah, I think we've gotten caught in this game. We've gotten caught in the game of life, in the ideas that are pumped into us, you know, the just do it and no matter what, and you know, money over and all of these pieces. And I think, I hope that we're coming back to a more balanced state of being and sharing life and community and valuing one another, no matter what species we are. I know I get to practice that every day. And I get to practice that not only with horses, but also with humans. Mm-hmm. And I get to help people find their way to that through the horses. Horses are masters at bringing people present. I've heard over and over again the descriptive, because most people can't. They're like, oh, what'd you do? What was it like? What was your experience with the horse like? And they're like, I don't know how to describe it. But what people can say is how they felt with the horse in that moment, in that lesson. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it's our feelings that drive us in life.
Yep.
Right? We're always seeking to feel better.
Yep.
To feel good. I'll bet if you took a moment and I ask you what your feeling was that first time with Mel, you could tell me. You could close your eyes and go right back to that embodied experience.
I could. Yeah, I can get right there in, and the feeling that immediately comes to mind was relief. Relief.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, because in your first, you know, a horse is a massive being in most cases. And there is this concept that in their being of the massive, that they are there, that they're more, that they are more powerful than you, that they are more than you, that you need to, you know, there's this perception of by size that it means I could smoosh you, you know, or whatever you've got experiences. I mean, for me, I think most of my own one crazy afternoon, I ended up out with my dad doing some horse work, and there was some spooked folks. They were off to the side. I'm up on a fence. And I want to say that it was a deer fence because it was pretty tall. It might have been a wildlife fence. And I was throwing a stick the opposite way of my father and these, and it was a couple of pretty sassy mares. And I, in an instant, I probably was 8 or 9 years old, I had crawled down the fence and grabbed the stick to throw it for the dogs. And I turned and I threw it in the direction of my dad. And I spooked the horse that he was under. And the horse kicked and it hit my dad across the top of the head. And I was devastated. He had stitches. I couldn't believe that I, and so I'm realizing in this moment that, yeah, I pretty much determined at that moment in my life that the horse was scary and that I shouldn't be around them because I didn't know how to control, I didn't know how to behave. And so meeting Mel was entering that. I mean, I recall sitting there with you all shaking. I was nervous. But then when I stepped in and made eye contact, it was a relief. She knew who I was. And it was the first time, frankly, that I was able to connect with my dad, and who's been gone for many years. It was an instant relief of a piece of healing that I didn't even know I needed. And she gave that to me. I want to say, Kathy, parts of me in that time, they were so not ready to heal. So much of the, you know, the availability, if I go back there and think about the connection, the conversation, you know, mentally I had with Mel, I think she knew, you know, and I think horses know, like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm like, I'm going to go back to grazing and I'll be here when you're ready kind of thing, you know? And to continue to develop, you know, a relationship with you and with Andy, through the years, to be able to continue to access that relationship with horses, fast forward, you know, the Mr. Tuckers of the world, the Twilas and the Tutus, and, you know, just like amazing horses that brought me such relief and release and present state of being. I'm listening to you speak and I can't help but think of Andy, you know, left and right. I'm grateful for you. And the connection that we have as humans, I'm glad that I got the chance to connect with horses, through you, through Andy, through the experience, and to circle back with you and to have the opportunity to heal even more. Cause I need it in real time. wasn't quite ready. Right. But you've been healing too. And it wasn't even until, you know, you're saying, just in these last few, this beautiful book you've written to really come full circle with your own story and to come full circle with your own relationships with horses. And I would love for you to just share with folks, you know, the thinking behind your book, your children's book, and really, you know, what that meant for you in writing that and bringing the story of the horse to life.
Well, I'd like to go back a little bit further than that, if it's okay with you.
I will let you, just because
when you talk about healing and that it's a process, I believe that to be true. It's steps and it's ebb and flow, and it's kind of like dipping your toe in the pool, right? So we dip in a little and we step out, and we dip in a little and we step out. And I think that's one of the healthiest ways to heal, to grow, to evolve, where it's not a light switch.
Right.
The idea that it can be or that it is, I think is, you know, it's kind of bullshit to even hope for that.
Can we just say that for a second? It is. It doesn't just fucking happen.
No.
The light bulb doesn't just go on. You have to work for this shit.
Yeah. And you absolutely have to work for it. And it's a process. It's not a singular moment. And I think it's destructive that we buy into that idea. I really do. I think the idea that I can see a therapist and talk about something for a year or any of that stuff, that and then the problem is solved, it's bullshit. It's just, it's not how it works. It just isn't. So I've spent a lifetime not only supporting people through horses, but also healing through horses. They're my teacher. When I was in college, my sophomore year of college, which is a few decades ago, I had an accident. It was not horse related. Most of my serious injuries have not been horse related. I was a college kid. I had a pickup truck. A guy offered me $50 over Christmas break to make a little money to use my truck and help haul off some wood. He was trimming a tree for an older gentleman near where I went to college. You know, so $50, that's big money, right? At that point. So I went to help do this thing, and I stood at the base of a 40-foot wooden extension ladder, balancing the ladder as this young man went up the ladder. It was fully extended, and when he got about halfway up, instead of a rung breaking, the ladder snapped in two. And what occurred, you know, in a matter of seconds, probably less than that, is that his weight caused the top of the ladder to flip backwards, and it hit me on top of the head and fractured my skull.
Holy shit.
Right? Which was a fascinating experience. I have very distinct memories of that experience, right? There are clear memories. And then I know things that my girlfriend at the time told me, because she was there with me. Like, this is what occurred and this is what I did. But there's some really, really clear things. One of the things that I think is funny about that story, not so funny to them, but it was kind of funny to me after the fact, was that it knocked me unconscious with my eyes open. So everybody that was standing there thought I was dead. Right.
Yeah.
So all of the excitement and drama ensued, you know, and everybody running around, oh my God, oh my God. And then all of a sudden I sat up. Right. So I think that's funny. I don't think they
did. Think it's funny in a morbid kind of way. I am typically one that will laugh really loud at that kind of stuff. That's fantastic.
Yes, yeah.
I'd even recreate it like, rah!
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. my experience going through that, was a couple of things. One, you know, it didn't take long before I started vomiting, and I was throwing up about every 10 minutes. It didn't break the skin, which I think is fascinating. Fractured my skull, didn't break the skin, but it caused me to bleed profusely out of my nose, and then it shifted into my stomach. Went to the emergency, you know, ambulance ride to the emergency room, sent home with oral meds. You know, it was all kind of a stupid, and we were kids. So I was 19 at the time. Back and forth. I went to the ER 3 times. They kept sending me home. By the next morning, my primary doctor finally admitted me. And then I got to spend 5 days in the hospital. The outcome and the consequence of all of that, number one, they didn't have to drill a burr hole because they finally got me to the hospital and got me stationary. So they got the inflammation down in my brain quick enough. The flip side of that is that I came away from that experience with a headache for about a year. And I mean an intense headache, not a little headache. I mean a bitch of a headache. I completely lost my sense of taste and smell at the time. And when I came to with a stutter. I'd never stuttered. As a matter of fact, I'd done tons of speaking engagements and all kinds of stuff. And I was witty and I'd done some stage work and, you know, and so this had a huge impact on me. The thing I desired the most after I got out of the hospital was to be able to ride my horse, right? To get to the point where I could ride my horse.
Absolutely.
After about a year, my sense of taste and smell came back. It was gradual. One of the worst parts of it is that as my sense of taste came back, everything tasted like Dr. Pepper mixed with mint toothpaste.
What?
It was horrible. I don't know why the taste buds do that, right? But it was this horrible thing. But the stutter became a huge issue. And then this idea of things take time and it takes healing. It's still there. I hear it. Most people don't catch it. It slows my processing. It slowed my processing significantly. And that has gotten better and better and better. Neuroplasticity is an amazing thing. Unconditional acceptance by my horses and the gift of patience and time is an amazing thing. But even in my mid-40s, there were things that I was choosing not to do because of the stutter. I felt so much shame and frustration around this change that I couldn't fix. I couldn't control this accident, but I couldn't talk. I experienced panic and anxiety in a class 2 semesters later after that accident where I had to stand up and give a 3-minute presentation. I don't remember a word I said. I mean, I just cried and panicked and cold sweat and all of those things. And this was such a flip of an experience for me. In my mid-40s, I sort of went, all right, this is not okay. This is still this many years impacting my life. I can stand up and talk to people when it's about horses and with horses. But there were lots of other places that I was avoiding doing that. I just wouldn't do it. Just, you know, that panic and that anxiety and that fear would grab me. That many years later, you know, we're talking decades now.
Yeah.
So one of the things that occurred in my early 40s after I moved back to Kansas City, after Andy and I transitioned the business back to the Kansas City area, I decided to have a year of saying yes to everything. And so I started taking an acting class and I did other things that weren't just with the horses. And in the middle of that, I had a little surprise diagnosis of breast cancer.
Hmm.
Right. And I found out that I had breast cancer after a lumpectomy the same weekend that my middle brother died of colon cancer, right? All within a 48-hour period. As I'm saying yes and, you know, engaging in the world and all of those things. And that led into a different kind of healing and coping journey. And know that horses were a part of this all along. I didn't have to do chemo, but I did do radiation for 7 weeks. And it was a fascinating thing, and a painful thing, by the way. It's not pleasant. One of the things that came out of that journey immediately, and especially in the middle of radiation, was this book, this book that I wrote, and it's called Through the Eyes of a Horse. And it's about a little girl who goes to a farm and has this experience where she gets to meet a horse. And it impacts her life for the better. It changes her life forever. She sees herself through the eyes of a horse, literally reflected in the eye of the horse. And it changes her. And it's based on a real teaching horse, a horse that you would have met named Gypsy, and the encapsulation of several kids that I had worked with over the years. I kind of fit them all in. But the truth is, the story's about me. When we write and when we create, that's the truth of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about how the horses heal. It's been, I wrote that in 2016. And I, to this day, I have a hard time talking about that story. And it's published now. And I've gone through this whole process without having emotion. And at first, that really frustrated me. But the truth is, man, what an amazing gift that is. To still experience that level of emotion about a story that's about self-acceptance and self-love and self-discovery and finding it through a horse, through the eyes of a horse. And it's, I think it's an amazing gift. And it's the truth of what I've done my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Healing through horses.
It's an amazing relationship that is available, and horses helping humans without any expectation of anything in return, you know, models of giving and saying yes to connection and yes to community and really just embodying the opportunity to be at peace, what it means to be at peace and to be able to see yourself through the eyes of a horse and see your, you know, just that you are accepted and that you are loved, and all of the emotions that go with that, that continue to bubble up is, they're emotions of gratitude, of the emotions that you feel. I feel like there's a connection that a horse makes with you that allows you to feel emotions without the judgment attached to them, so that you can sort yourself, sort it out. You know, they're not judging what's coming up. It's just coming up, and it's not going to allow, it's going to sit there until we do something with it. And then once it's aside, we can come forward, right? It's a very, it can be a very overwhelming opportunity to set aside emotions for the opportunity to be accepted, for the opportunity to be congruent and share, to set aside and go into a state of mind with a horse to set aside those emotions for the simple gift of being present, for the simple gift of being congruent. What that feels like, what a horse introduces to you, that the taste of that, of the congruence of it. And I hope that people will hear this and wonder even more about it and even take steps towards engaging themselves in some form of a horse situation. It will only offer healing. And to be, I'm proud of you to be able to put all of that out into the world and say, this is the opportunity, folks. And, I'm just proud of you. I really am. And I'm proud to know you for the clarity that you have around your passion and around your purpose on this planet. To make connections and to partner with these beautiful beings to help people heal.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I would propose a little bit different descriptive, if that's okay.
I would.
I think, don't think it's that horses that moment allows us to suspend our emotion.
Mm-hmm.
I think it allows us to be in a fully present state. They invite us into a fully present state of being with them. And that means the baggage we've been carrying around from yesterday, we set down, even if it's for a few minutes. We set all of the baggage down from yesterday. And when we're in that present state of being, we cannot also be in a place of what ifs,
mm-hmm.
right? What if the horse steps on me? What if the, all of that stuff? What if I cry? What if the horse doesn't like me? You know, I've heard it all. All of those pieces that are past and future focused, they drift away, and it's right here, right now. And so we're truly present in the experience and embodying a moment of pure connection and pure present state of being. I think that's the true gift, a reminding of what it's like to come home.
Yeah.
To yourself. And isn't that what we all want?
It is. It is. I don't know that we all realize that that's what we want, is to be able to spend, to be able to set aside for a few minutes and be present state. Yeah. Because the what if, this is a what if world, you know, things are sensationalized and catastrophized around the what if, and to be able to take a break from that, to gather the strength in those moments is critical. Thank you for backtracking.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say for that, you know, the power of that experience, we know why it is of such service to veterans, to trauma survivors, to those folks who have experienced hardships that have shut them down. Horses give an opportunity to have some peace of mind and present state relief.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, again, isn't that on some level what we're all seeking?
Mm-hmm.
We're not seeking to escape our lives. We're seeking to find comfort and security and peace within our life, not as somewhere else. We try to escape all the time, right? Technology, TV shows, TikTok, Facebook, everything.
Alcohol, drugs.
Right? Alcohol, drugs, excessive exercise, right? All of the addictive behaviors. And they can be modalities of escape, or they can all be modalities of service, helping us live a better life, right? A moment of peace, a moment of relaxation. Nothing feels better to me so much of the time than when I get to go for a run and feel my body and be present in that and have that experience. Nothing feels better to me than that present state of being when I'm hanging out with my horse. And by the way, I set my phone down. That phone does not go on the horse with me, right? It's me and her. It's moments of connection. It's those pieces. My dog, if I pick up my phone and she wants attention, my little dog comes over and puts her little paw right on the phone. And she's always done that. And she puts my hand down with the phone. It's like, nope, this is a moment for connection. And if we can remember that, you know, with our human companions too, that moment of connection is worth more than anything else. It's who we are. It's how we're remembered. It's how we make the world a better place, right? Mm-hmm. Legacy, but also connection and community and a better life, a better planet, a better way of living.
Yes. Yes. This is, it's a beautiful show that we are a part of. It can sometimes be overwhelming. As we all realize, you know, we realize that everybody's running around with their own versions of scripts that, you know, and folks with some with, you know, harmful intentions, some with no intentions that they know of, you know, kind of playing executive producer and director and, you know, where it's in systems, you know, that lay over. The opportunity, the gift of a relationship with horses and what they offer us, it's amazing. And thank goodness for humans like you who are able to facilitate that connection and congruence, the opportunity for congruence. I experience you I know that I will forever be impacted by your ability to introduce me to the power of present, being in a present state of mind and entering into the heart space of a horse and finding healing.
Well, it's my absolute pleasure. You know, it's one of the coolest things in the world that I get to do. It's an amazing thing that I get to be a part of. And I get to interpret. I get to build the like language between myself and the horse. And then the participants in the horse. That's all I do.
Yeah.
I set up safe, emotionally safe, physically safe, environmentally safe experiences where the horse provides the lessons and I provide the like language.
Mm-hmm.
And people get to have embodied benchmark moments that help them move their lives forward in a beautiful, positive way. What better life is there? Right? And I get to do it with horses. And that doesn't mean that I haven't, you know, had my bumps in the road and that I haven't had my moments on the floor wailing, praying for some entity outside of me to make it all better, because I am human, right? I've gotten knocked on my ass a lot. But I continue to find my way back through the horses,
mm-hmm.
through the horses and through that congruence and present state of being and acceptance. And that empowers me to be able to give that to others. Most of the time, again, I'm human.
Yeah.
I screw up.
Yeah, so do I. Quick to apologize, quicker to apologize when I do now than I ever have been. How do people connect with you? Where do we find you? Where do we connect with and access you? Can you talk to us about what you're up to professionally and how folks can be in touch with you if by chance what we've been talking about is of interest to them and they want to know more about the power of the human-horse connection?
Absolutely. I can be found at www.kathyhuddleston.com. That's my website. My focus has shifted since I wrote the book over the last 5 or 6 years to not doing a ton of corporate communication only based workshops. Everything I'm doing now is really focused on heart-based connection and living through the heart and what that means today, which also applies to corporate, by the way. It's just a shift in how I focus. So heart-based, self-acceptance, self-respect, self-love. I have a blog on that website. My book is available. It's called Through the Eyes of a Horse. And it's under my full name. It's by Catherine Huddleston. And that was written for the child, but also for the child within. And I think that's a really important piece. And it's available everywhere. Amazon, Target, Walmart, anywhere you shop online. It's really easy to find. I've also started a podcast It's called Horses Helping Humans, and it's available everywhere. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Audible, absolutely everywhere. And the podcast is specifically about people sharing their stories of how horses have helped them heal or find more of what I teach and what I provide. And I have an amazing array of guests from all walks of life, which I think is really, really cool. And my email is available and you can reach out, because I would love to connect with anybody who'd like to know more or even help you find a good fit if you're not in my area or I'm not going to be in your area. Because I just want you to meet a horse.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too. I want folks to meet horses. Yeah.
Yeah.
We put a bug in people's ear, you and I just did.
I hope so.
We did.
Yeah, I really do. And, you know, there's also horse rescues and local ASPCAs, your local humane society. They also rescue horses. Donate where you can. Help horses. They've been helping us for thousands of years.
They've been helping us for a long time. Yes.
Yeah, and they're still helping us. So, you know, let's do our part and help them help us.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to put all of your information in my episode notes and make sure that everyone knows how to be in touch with you, and no matter where they're at. I know even here in Colorado, in my local area, I've got several opportunities to be in touch and be in an open field, even just being a witness, to the beauty of horses. There's opportunity everywhere. I thank you for your time, and thank you for thinking out loud with me. It's something that I value. I am blessed with some incredibly human humans, folks that I've come to rely on, even if I didn't realize it, that I, you know, I think I kind of knew that I would circle back with you. And I look forward to coming back together and thinking more about, you know, this crazy thing called life. Because you're right, it's not easy. It can sometimes make you feel like, you know what? Yeah, I'm just going to go hide. In this case, maybe hiding with a horse for a little while as an option, you know, is what we were after. So any parting words, any last thoughts before we sign off?
Well, I just want to say thank you for having me on the show and share a little bit about what I do, and hopefully connect people with horses and the opportunity that they bring for our hearts and our day-to-day life. And also how grateful I am that you are a member of my herd.
Likewise.
Yeah.
I'm going to end on that.